Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to read God's Word with you. Today is Monday, October 6th. Happy Missions Monday. Our mission today is to read God's Word. Yesterday we had communion in the services, so we didn't highlight a mission partner. But I want you to think of someone that you do support in ministry and lift them up to the Lord even now. We're beginning today with Isaiah chapter 36, verses 1 through 10. Typically, we read a little snippet of each chapter, but today we're starting a stint where we are reading every word of chapter 36, 37, 38, 39, and 40. In chapter 36, we encounter a historical narrative that happened in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, when Assyria attempts to invade Jerusalem. Starting in verse 1. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, marched against all the fortified cities of Judah and seized them. And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem to King Hezekiah with a large army. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool on the road of the Fuller's Field. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the secretary, went out to him. And Rabshakeh said to them, "Say now to Hezekiah, this is what the great king, the king of Assyria, says. What is this confidence that you have? I say, your plan and strength for the war are only empty words. Now on whom have you relied that you have revolted against me? Behold, you have relied on the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who rely on him. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, it is not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and has said to Judah and to Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar. Now then, come make a wager with my master, the king of Assyria. I will give you 2,000 horses if you are able on your part to put riders on them. How then can you drive back even one official of the least of my master's servants and rely on Egypt for chariots and horsemen? And have I now come up without the Lord's approval against this land to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it." Okay, so maybe I'm not that good at voices. I don't know why I started talking like I did for Rabshakeh, who is the king of Assyria's servant. Rabshakeh came to Hezekiah's men and begins to tell them that they shouldn't trust in Egypt and they shouldn't trust in the Lord their God either. It's a confusing passage. He seems to indicate that God has given Assyria approval to go against the land and destroy it. And that's kind of a half-truth. In some ways, it's true that earlier in Isaiah, God did call Assyria the rod of his anger, meaning that he would use Assyria as an instrument to bring his judgment. But it's not the whole truth, because Isaiah says that Assyria is self-seeking and arrogant, and ultimately God will judge Assyria as well. And we see here specifically in this passage and the passages that we will read in subsequent days that Jerusalem is protected. And so Rabshakeh is not telling the truth. Rather, he thinks that because God said he would use Assyria as an instrument, that he meant specifically Jerusalem, although God did not say that. And we will see in the subsequent days that Jerusalem is spared. And I can't wait for you to hear the rest of that story, so I look forward to sharing it tomorrow. Our second passage today is Acts chapter 13, verses 44 through 52. The title in the New American Standard Bible is, Paul Turns to the Gentiles. The next Sabbath, nearly all the city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Since you repudiate it and consider yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, 'I have appointed you as a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.'" When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and all who had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited a devout woman of prominence and the leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. This passage reminds us that we as believers encounter both persecution and heartache and joy and rejoicing. And sometimes it can be in the very same day. When the Gentiles heard, they were rejoicing and Paul with them. And then there was some kind of instigation against Paul and Barnabas, and they had to leave. So they shook the dust from their feet and they protested in that way. And then it ends this little section with the disciples were continually filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. I'm interested in the fact that those two things are linked. As we look upon the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit, may we be filled with joy in His presence. Our snippet from Psalms comes from Psalm 85, verses 4 and 5. "Restore us, God of our salvation, and cause your indignation toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations?" Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. I want us just to look to Jesus today. And in this prayer from the Diary of Private Prayer, John Bailey points us in that direction. Will you pray with me? Oh God, you have proved your love for all your people by sending us Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you have illuminated our human life with the radiance of his presence. Thank you for this, your greatest gift. Thank you, God, for every day my Lord spent on this earth, for the record of his deeds of love, for the words he spoke for my guidance and help, for his obedience even to death, for his triumph over death, for the presence of his Spirit with me now. Help me, Lord, to remember the blessed life that was once lived out on this common earth, under these ordinary skies. May I take this memory into each task and duty of today. Help me to remember his eagerness to help others rather than to be helped, his sympathy with suffering of every kind, his bravery in the face of his own sufferings, his gentleness toward others, so that when he was abused, he did not retaliate. His steadiness of purpose in keeping to the appointed task, his simplicity, self-discipline, serenity of spirit, and complete reliance upon you, his Father in heaven. In each of these ways, give me grace to follow in his footsteps. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, I commit all my ways to you. I entrust my soul into your hands. I pledge my life to your service. May this day be for me a day of obedience and love, a day of happiness and peace, May all I do and say be worthy of Christ and His gospel. Amen.